I invite you all now to join with me in our scripture reading this morning, which we only have one. It comes from the New Testament. We'll be reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians, the second chapter. I invite you to follow along using the blue pew Bible that should be located there in front of where you're sitting. If you turn to page 197 in the New Testament section, you will find Philippians chapter 2. And I'm going to read the first 13 verses. Paul writes, "If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." My friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. With your word, O Lord, you spoke and creation sprang forth. Now send forth your brooding spirit to hover over us, that your new life might emerge within, among, and through us, and then out into the world. To the glory of your holy name we pray, and let all God's people say, Amen. As I mentioned at the beginning of the service during the announcements, since today is the first Sunday of October, it is World Communion Sunday, and we are celebrating with sisters and brothers in the faith around this nation and indeed around the entire globe. Here's some good history that you may or may not know already about this special day. It originated way back in 1936. It was originally called Worldwide Communion Sunday, and it was started by Presbyterians in a predecessor denomination to our current Presbyterian Church USA. And the intention was to create this special Sunday so that other denominations and other Christians could grab hold of it and make it their own and embrace it. And indeed, within a few years, around 1940 or so, it had spread beyond the Presbyterians, praise be. And it spread beyond just this country, spread across the world. The intent of today is and always has been to celebrate the call of all Christians, regardless of background, regardless of theological tradition. It is a day where we are invited to pause and to recollect and to remember and to celebrate that we are, in fact, every single one of us and every single person elsewhere are one in Jesus Christ. And that the table that we receive from and the table that we communion at is God's table. It's not our table. It's not anyone else's table but God. Today is our chance here in this church to affirm with all our joy the sacrament of Holy Communion and to celebrate that we are part of something so much bigger than First Presbyterian Church of Covington. That we celebrate being part of God's church everywhere. Thinking back to the history of the 1930s, though, World Communion Sunday was born amid gathering clouds of war and great economic uncertainty. The world was just past the halfway point in the Great Depression, and World War II was on the horizon. And themes in churches included oneness in Christ and peace and goodwill and justice for all. Those themes were prevalent during those times, just as they still are today. And while the names and the labels may have changed with the decades, the themes that were in focus 80-some-odd years ago are still of the utmost concern to us today. Today, we are still talking about the Great Recession instead of the Great Depression. And we have a watchful eye on what may or may not be happening to the economy right now. And instead of world war, we still talk about the global war on terrorism. And we know that there are hot spots all around the world. So similar to the 1930s, we still find ourselves amid gathering clouds of war and great economic uncertainty, just as they did all those years ago. In fact, today, World Communion Sunday has taken on a new relevancy and a new depth of meaning in a world where progress and advancement for some comes at the cost of equality and opportunity for so many others. And in a time when fear divides the great peoples of God's created earth, on this day, it is truly right, it is appropriate, and hopefully it is our greatest joy, to borrow from our communion language, that we celebrate our oneness in Christ, that we celebrate our oneness in the Prince of Peace in the midst of the world we are called to serve, a broken world ever in need of healing and peacemaking. We gather today in unity with believers around the world to come to the table, to break the bread of life and to share the cup of salvation. We gather as people who share a common faith, not so much focused on how much more or less faith that we may have compared to somebody else or compared to a whole other church. We gather as people who celebrate that we have more in common with other people than we might like to admit, and that we can be stronger, not weaker, when we come together with all of our beautiful differences. We gather in suffering. We gather in celebration. We gather in hope, remembering that in a broken and war-torn world, God's grand vision for peace and justice thrives. It thrives and continues to course through the veins of this church body and indeed through the body of Christ everywhere. Today, I invite you, each and every single one of you, I invite you to be captivated by the image of men and women and children of every language, color, and nationality around the world, gathering in sacred spaces, wherever they may be, in open fields or straw huts, in brick schools and wooden shacks, in stone cathedrals, and so many more. People praising God and entering into both a physical and spiritual communion with us in this place right now. I invite you to be captivated by the idea of God's community coming together in God's name to be something more powerful and more amazing than we can possibly imagine. I invite you to be captivated by the understanding that a life shared together in Christ's name truly does mean that as a community of faith, we care about each other more than we care about ourselves, through good times and bad times, and that this church, especially this church, truly is the one place where anyone and everyone will always feel like they belong and that they are loved, regardless of who they are. Because just like the Apostle Paul said in our reading from Philippians a few moments ago, the church, especially this church, is a place where in humility we regard others as better than ourselves, and we look not to our own interests, but to the interests of others. Indeed, this day beckons each of us to be mindful that when we gather together for worship or Sunday school or whatever it may be, when we gather together shortly at the table, We celebrate not only with those present here today, but also with sisters and brothers around the world who we will never meet. So knowing and accepting the reality of God's love and grace for the entire world, as well as a universal community of believers gathered in all places this day in Christ's name, I offer this prayer and this blessing in the form of a beautiful poem written by a woman named Jan Richardson. She writes this: "To your table you bid us come. You have set the places, you have poured the wine, and there is always room, you say, for one more. And so we come. From the streets and from the valleys we come. From the deserts and from the hills we come. From the ravages of poverty and from the palaces of privilege we come. Running, limping, carried, we come. We are bloodied with our wars, we are wearied with our wounds. We carry our dead within us and we reckon with their ghosts. We hold the seeds of healing. We dream of a new creation. We know the things that make for peace and we struggle to give them wings. And yet to your table we come. Hungering for your bread we come, thirsting for your wine we come. Singing your song in every language, speaking your name in every tongue, in conflict and in communion, in discord and in desire, we come, O God of wisdom. We come. So in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us come. All of us, let us come. Amen.